What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Nine Circles audio thing. This is Chris Foss, and I'll make it quick. It is interview time, and we are proud to welcome into the Nine Circles fold the one, the only, the original blue-blooded metalhead himself, Matt Buchan. He's joining the Nine Circles group, and he's kicking it off with an interview with Atlanta, Georgia's Paladin, specifically Taylor Washington, who does vocals and guitars. The album just came out a few weeks ago, and Matt took a little bit of time to talk to Taylor over Memorial Weekend, so without further ado, I'm going to kick it off. Bye.
Hello, this is Matt from the Nine Circles website, and I am joined here on this Memorial Day holiday weekend by Taylor Washington of Atlanta, Georgia's own Paladin. Taylor, how's everything going today, sir?
It is going well. A very hot day in Georgia.
You know, it's funny you say that. I am a NASCAR guy, and I usually head down to Charlotte for the NASCAR race, but this year I did not make that trip. And I called down to my family down there, and they said it's in the 90s and record-breaking temps for the race, and sounds pretty miserable down there.
Yeah, I think you made a good call of not going.
Yes, and it's the longest race on the NASCAR circuit, so it actually probably would have been a miserable time. First off, this holiday weekend, are you, aside from talking to me, which again, thank you for that, how are you spending this holiday weekend, my friend?
Oh, same way I spend every weekend, which is playing video games.
Playing video games.
Yeah, that's and watching Breaking Bad or something.
I will share the love of playing video games with you. You and I had a quick talk about that. I have kind of avoided the whole Fortnite fandom going on right now. I play shooters, but I don't fall into the Fortnite stuff trying to get wins or skins or whatever the kids are doing nowadays.
Yeah, all the cosmetic things. I was really into Team Fortress 2 years ago, and then for PC, and then I haven't played much since then. I picked up Overwatch a little bit, but I've mostly been out of the FPS game.
Yeah,
so to speak.
I don't know how many people here will follow us here. This is really nerdy, but I gotta ask you, since you mentioned it, have you heard of like the crazy black market that is or once was the TF2 hat market?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I have heard like some of my previous, like I used to listen to the Idle Thumbs podcast, and I learned through them about this crazy trade a hat, sell it for this hat goes for this hundred, and oh, all these resellers going on with hats.
Oh, yeah. Team Fortress. I was playing maybe a couple years before the whole hat thing started, so I saw it all blossom.
Yes. Yes.
People, well, then, like, yeah, people created idling programs because you could only get the hats just by like being in game. Just randomly, they would give you one sometimes. So people created like idling scripts and stuff, so you could just be playing for thousands of hours, and people would want to buy rare hats and all this ridiculous stuff.
Yes, yes. Well, if anyone listening right now is interested in that, just do a search for TF2 hats, and you will go down the rabbit hole of people who've spent thousands on cosmetic hats. But the reason why we're not talking about video games. This is not Twitch. This isn't YouTube gaming. We're not talking about E3 coming up. We're talking about heavy metal, and you are the vocalist and one of the guitarists in the band, again, Paladin. You guys caught my attention. I used to do a podcast with a friend of mine. I left that and came over here, joined you guys. And I say all that because I was out of the podcast game for a couple years. And I heard your band. And I said, you know what? I'm making my return to podcasting and interviewing with you guys.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Because I listen to a lot of music, like I'm sure you do and we all do. You guys excited me because you take a love of, well, sorry, you take a sound of power metal, which I love, aspects of thrash metal. So think of this, and also death metal. So think of, and this is going to excite a lot of men and women out there, think of like maybe your Iced Earth. And we're like a bus driving down the road. We're like that scene. No disrespect here, but we're like that scene in Dumb and Dumber when they're driving down the road and you're like, pick them up. You know, we got the band van. We're cruising down the road. Oh, look, on the side of the road. Oh, there's Iced Earth. Pick them up. Oh, there's Ex Mortis. On. Hey, pick them up. Oh, who's that over there? Goat Whore? Pick them up. And that's how we land on Paladin here. Taylor, tell me a little bit about you guys here.
Well, man, I think you gave us a good start. we're just cruising down the highway, picking up other bands. And
but you know what, though? But yeah, exactly. Absorbing them. You guys are not some cover band in the sense, you know, every band, every artist is influenced. I would say you guys pick up a bunch of influencers along the way.
Yes. Like you said, there's definitely a power metal influence, strong power metal influence. And a thrash influence. I think those are probably the biggest sort of styles that are part of this melding. And I don't even necessarily listen to thrash that much, but I like thrashy riffs and guitar parts and other bands. Like I always say this, early Children of Bodom is like a huge influence on the music that I write, especially for Paladin and some of their stuff was, it had a thrashy feel to it. And a lot of it was, I mean, I guess they're technically a melodeath band. I don't know, but it's almost like power metal with harsh vocals. Like that's how I think of them.
No, it's a really quick going. You mentioned Bodom. I will say this, Hate Crew Death Roll is one of the greatest albums to come out in the last 20 years or so. A lot of people may say Follow the Reaper, but Hate Crew Death Roll. God, that album for me.
Follow the Reaper is mine. All of Follow the Reaper and Hate Breeder and Death Crew, I all, or Hate Crew Death Roll, I like all of those a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So you were saying that you guys have a sound like you like the sound that Bodom brought. And how did we get to where you guys are forming Paladin?
Originally, if we're going way back to the first days, I was playing guitar for another Atlanta band, and it was like a combination of it was like a sort of thrashy melodeath band. It only had harsh vocals, so there wasn't any clean singing involved with that. And I was only playing guitar; I wasn't involved in any vocal capacity. But anyway, I was playing with them. Alex, the other guitarist in Paladin, was playing bass for them. And then that band ended up imploding. And us two and the drummer for that band, Aaron, decided to continue on as another entity, which became known as Paladin.
Okay. And, what year are we looking at here?
That recent. We only formed in like the beginning of 2015. So that was, I think it was April-ish 2015, okay. Right around four years.
And to bring us again to where we're at now, you guys just released Ascension.
Yes.
It came out, what was that now? Maybe just over a week and a half ago now?
Yeah, you know, actually. Not even a week and a half.
Not even a week, yeah. Just maybe a week ago, yeah. So you guys really quickly released a demo 2015, 2017, like really quick.
2017,
yeah. Where I'm getting with, you guys started getting on this quick.
We tried, yeah. And, well, I had, there were like six songs I had written for the previous band, and we never recorded them or anything, so I took those and used them for Paladin. So I already had like half a full-length worth of material, basically. And our original drummer decided to quit only a few months after we formed, and then we didn't find Nate, our current drummer, until the end of 2015. So there was like a good, I don't know, almost half year sort of slump kind of thing, which was especially brutal after just having formed the band. It's like we get some momentum going and then the rug's just pulled out from under us.
Yeah, I know. And it's not like it was a bass player who dropped out where you guys could easily, you know, pick them up on the side of the road everywhere, you know?
Yeah. And actually, since you mentioned that, when we first started, we didn't have a bass player locked down. I tried to get one of my friends to do it and he ended up flaking out. So we just used like bass backing tracks for the first couple shows we did.
Oh, so well, I guess what's that say about bass players that they, so as a guy who, I would say in the metal realm of genres that what I personally listen to, power metal is, I think, what I would latch on to first. I heard you mention that, you know, power was where you leaned as well. Yes. But, you know, but here in the States, it seems like us power metal fans are maybe, I don't want to say made fun of, but we're kind of like the redheaded stepchildren of the metal scene.
Yeah, it along with sort of prog nerds and the more, I mean, really the more like European melodic subgenres mm-hmm. and styles, like folk metal and that kind of thing. I mean, I guess folk metal is a little more commercially acceptable in America now because maybe because of Ailstorm, I don't really know, but it seems to be a little more acceptable now.
So when you were getting into music and starting to form bands, what did you look at it or think of it like, hey, if I'm going to try and make something of this here, maybe realizing that here in the States, there's not really a power metal scene might not be the best thing to kind of dive into.
Well, I definitely didn't start playing the stuff that I play now, with any intent to
make it, yeah,
capitalize on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I just wanted to play what I wanted to play and what I like to hear. So I knew, I mean, metal in general, it's never going to be, you know, that lucrative or profitable. Sort of niche things like power metal, definitely not. And I knew that getting into it, and I know that now. I never really expect to be able to personally profit from my music.
But we're talking about, you know, your music again. I'll mention you guys, Paladin, just released Ascension. You can go on Bandcamp right now at paladinatl.bandcamp.com. Get the album right there. You can listen to it. I went ahead, as soon as I heard you guys, went ahead, bought the gorgeous vinyl that I can't wait to have and spin. So if you're a vinyl guy like myself, it's a gorgeous blue, white, purple splatter vinyl.
Yeah, it's like translucent blue with white and purple splatter. And I think we are almost out of those, if not completely
that
out.
That is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I think we're down to the double digits, maybe low double digits in terms of stock.
So I don't know when this is going to be posted, but if you are hearing this and you're a vinyl guy, before it goes up on eBay and you're buying it from some guy overseas or from a different country and you want to avoid high shipping rates, go on Bandcamp and pick it up. So I mentioned earlier this album was out on Prosthetic, and you were mentioning how you guys just formed in 2015 when you already had songs written. How do you guys get to the point now where Prosthetic starts to notice you guys?
Well, re-recorded the album completely and had it mixed and mastered and everything, actually by Matt Smith of Theocracy, which he aside from being the mastermind behind that band, he also sort of mixes and masters all of their stuff and also other people's stuff if they want to pay his price. We had it recorded and that was all finished and we started shopping around to labels. Prosthetic, we really wanted to work with. That was at the top of our list. And thankfully, one of my friends here in Atlanta is friends with the A&R guy, Steve, at Prosthetic. And he asked me if he wanted to send my stuff over to Prosthetic and let him listen to it. And I was like, oh, yeah, yes, please do that for me. And I guess they liked it. And here we are.
So, Taylor, it's interesting that in this, you know, I've talked about this, you know, my previous podcast and other interviews I've done. And I mentioned it when we first connected here that, you know, rarely do I get excited with music, not because, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but because with the internet, it's so, you're just exposed to so much. You know, yes. you and I can load up Spotify or Bandcamp and just have 100 albums coming at us that have been released since the start of the year.
Yep.
How did you guys, or when did you start to realize, because it always stands out to me when albums like yours maybe start to gain a little traction or there's a little talk. Have you gotten wind of any of that yet? That I'm not saying you don't need to toot your own horn, but did you start to look like, the, hey, guys, you know, this album is, I think we may have done something right here.
Well, yeah, I think the first little taste of that was Prosthetic being interested at all. And then actually like offering us a deal, that was kind of like, well, okay, maybe, maybe there's something. And then, yeah, I mean, once the first single Shoot for the Sun came out, which was maybe a little over a month ago at this point, 6 weeks, something like that. It spread pretty well and quickly on Facebook, kind of took off, which I didn't expect at all, to generally positive response. And then like I get emails from Prosthetic saying that Revolver wants to do an interview and stuff like this, and I'm like, okay.
I mentioned about being excited. I look here, you know, again, Shoot for the Sun, the first single. The thing that quickly, when you hear this single, your guitar work just, bam, jumps right out at you. And it really is like that, holy shit, what the hell? I need to listen to this all the way. I really need to listen. So I got to ask, you're guitaring, and this is not, you know, a knock on anybody else in the band, but obviously that's the first thing that hit you. What's your person? But obviously, you're the only one I'm talking to. What is your personal history with playing? When did you start all that?
Ooh, I started playing guitar. I started playing music in like middle school because I played clarinet for maybe like 6 years, and then I picked up guitar around the end of 2002, I think, my freshman year of high school. Because a lot of my friends started playing and I thought it looked cool and I wanted to do the cool thing. And then it was actually fun.
So were you the guy at the high school party when everyone's sitting around drinking or whatever? You're the guy playing Stairway in the Corner?
No. I'm too like, yeah, I don't know what the word is, but I'm not the guy that would do that. I would be too embarrassed. Or whatever.
Okay. Because there was always that one drunk guy who never played the whole fucking song, but he would just play the opening riff just fucking over and over again. You'd be like, fuck, man, just play the fucking song or something.
Very happy to say that was not me.
Okay. Okay, good. So what, did you start taking lessons, self-taught? Now, growing up, you know, you were a freshman at that time. Did you use the internet to teach you? Did you find, like, a guitarist you really like? Or were you like a Dave Davidson? Did you go off to school and get, you know, classically trained?
Well, it was mostly, yes, internet. I just taught myself. I'm mostly self-taught. I did go to the Atlanta Institute of Music. I enrolled in 06 and graduated in 07. It was only a year-long thing. But the vast majority of my guitar sort of knowledge, and especially stuff that I actually use on a regular basis, was all self-taught. A lot of internet. I know cyberfret.com, I think, is what I used at the time.
Okay.
And this was back in 2002, so there weren't like a wealth of wasn't a wealth of resources.
Now who knows? If we type in cyberthreat.com right now, is it going to be like some WikiLeaks or some weird some weird page? We will leave that for maybe somebody else wants to find out where that
yeah, I don't want to type that into my
exactly. Okay, so if somebody asks you, they're like, "Man, I want the tabs to your album. Are you able to?" Because I know somebody who doesn't play, being self-taught, are you able to write your music down?
Oh yeah, totally. Okay, I can read music in like standard notation, and I guess maybe write it very sloppily, but tabs for sure I can. And I can do that, and I will often tab out the stuff that I write, just to show Alex or Andy, the bass player, or whoever else, just cause it's easier. It gives him something to reference instead of having to remember everything. And yeah, it's more efficient, I think, than having to go over it in person. And yeah, I prefer.
I got you. No, because I am, how do I say, as Dan Carlin on his Hardcore History podcast says, I'm a fan of heavy metal, but I am not a heavy metal artist. So yes. I could talk about music, but you and I can't go back and forth talking notes and stuff like that. Yeah. I'll sound like a bumbling idiot. Like I interviewed Dave Davidson years ago, and you know he went to college and majored in polyrhythm. And his talk, he trying to interview him and talk about music, I was like an idiot talking to Einstein. So, Taylor, you guys here just releasing again Ascension a week ago. What is on the radar for you guys coming up? Shows, continuing to. See, as my cat comes in, continuing to see what the album does and just let it continue to hit the interwebs. And
yeah, well, we played, obviously it's in the past now, but we played Legions of Metal Festival in Chicago the day of the album release, May 17th. And that was cool. It's weird because a lot of people, when they hear us, they'll say we have sort of a retro sound or whatever. But I think we were by far the most modern sounding band at that festival because it's all like classic American power metal and traditional heavy metal worship.
I'm looking at the lineup right now, like Liege Lord, October 31, Culprit. Yeah. Icarus Witch. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So let's just say there was some leather gauntlets or some leather vests that have had some miles on them in the crowd, huh?
Oh, yes. A sea of leather bracers.
Oh, I love this power metal scene and this classical metal scene. Now, when you, I got to ask, would you try and, you know, hit, because I did read a review and I can't remember it, where it's from, and I'm not going to try and take somebody else's words. But when you hit on different genres in your vocals, like, you know, like your the little harsh vocals, you guys, you know, like that death sound that you have, or yeah, the, you know, you're, are you worried that in doing that, since you don't, I guess, stay with one genre, that you may anger some people, or they may not look at the whole, I guess what I'm doing.
Yeah, it'll definitely, I know what you're saying.
Okay. And the answer, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily worry about it. I certainly expect it though. And yeah, cause I know there are a ton of power metal guys who just don't like harsh vocals at all.
Exactly.
And likewise, there are people who don't like power metal style vocals, and but they're fine with harsh vocals, more Melodeath guys probably, and yeah, it's, I mean, it cuts a bunch of different ways, because it'll some people appreciate the variety, and then obviously there are going to be other people on either side of the fence who are off put by one thing or another. It seems like most people, even if they hate the power metal vocals or can't stand the harsh vocals or whatever, they can find at least like a song or two or something to latch onto and appreciate. Or if nothing else, they can do like I do with Bodom and just block out the vocals that they don't like and listen to the music.
You guys are really, as a band, you know, you just to circle back to that, which you know, you say that somebody can find something that they can latch onto. Just how tight knit of a sound you guys are able to put together as a band, should any metalhead should easily be able to, again, using our bus analogy, come on, you know, hop aboard, you know, it's you guys just have such a tight sound that, you know, nobody should have any problems finding something they like here. Your guys' video for Shoot for the Sun, is that your first experience doing a music video?
Yes.
And how did you find that experience?
I was dreading it.
Were you
so,
really?
So hard. Yeah, because I don't really like being on camera anyway.
Yeah, you guys should see us right now. I'm actually looking at a I'm looking at like a green screen here of like a emoji face right here.
Yeah. I don't like being on camera, and even less so do I like being on camera in the form of a moving picture, a video,
okay.
As you would call it.
Okay.
It turned out fine. Also, I had concerns about the quality of the video, because I've seen so many low budget or amateur or just local band music videos that are just so bad. That was a big fear of mine.
Yeah.
But the guy, David Parham, he's the one who shot everything. He does great work, so I wasn't too concerned about that. I was just being preoccupied by my own nerves.
There I will say this, and you touched on it. There are some music videos, especially with anybody able to post anything on YouTube, some of these videos look like your TV, your high school TV production class music video. And like literally your music video, I like, you know, to mention like a thrash band here, this looks like I'm watching like an early like Warbringer video or something. Like,
yeah,
it just looks perfectly fine.
Yeah. I was very relieved when I.
But I could see why you're, you know, you would be a little nervous, because music videos, you know, they're close up of your face and stuff like that, and you know, but none of you guys are hideous. But
well, that's the magic of video. No,
exactly. That's the magic of video, people. That's why this is a audio podcast. You're not having to look at us right now. With this video and, you know, the success of you guys are sitting here at 16,000 views, so obviously people are checking it out. People are buying the album on Bandcamp. Are there plans or talk now maybe for a second video or for a second single? Or that's, you guys weren't even thinking of that yet.
We don't. We did put out a second single for Awakening, and it's just a lyric video. Video. I haven't really thought about doing a second music video. I'm not sure if it would necessarily make sense at this point.
I got a video for you. You know how some bands kind of do, like, I'm thinking of you and I, we can get together here, follow me here. We do like a Weird Al spoofs his videos. I'm thinking we get the band, we get a van. We cover it in a dog costume, okay? And we are going around on the roadside picking up other bands and their styles. I like this, you see?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I could take off. No. But, so, hey, if you like you guys on YouTube, you know, hit that like button and, God, I can't believe I just fucking said that.
Hit that subscribe.
Yeah, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. If you want to see another video, comment down below.
God. Like, comment, subscribe.
Exactly. I hate that. Okay. So you guys have a couple shows coming up more if anybody likes what they hear and they want to see you guys, right?
Yeah. We have some Atlanta shows coming up if there are any regional people. We're playing June 15th, which is my birthday. And then I think we're playing with Striker and Holy Grail in July. And but as far as non-hometown stuff, we are currently booking a 3-ish week tour of the eastern side of the U.S. We're going to go down to Texas and I think cut up to Michigan maybe, and then go over to New York and go on down the East Coast. And that'll be in October. If I didn't say that, I'm not sure of all of the locations or anything like that yet, but we're going to be out in October. So look for us.
Now, we did mention it earlier really quick. If you do like vinyl, you guys, you said you're limited on this first run here. Again, paladinatl.bandcamp.com. They got the limited first run gorgeous printing of blue, purple, white splatter of Ascension on vinyl.
Yes.
Or if vinyl's not your thing and you say it's a hassle or whatever, and you can pick it up digitally. You know, you guys do offer a compact disc.
Oh, we do. We have the CDs and digital. As you said, you can buy it on Bandcamp. You can stream it if you don't want to give us your money on Spotify and Apple Music and Google Play and all the standard streaming sites. And also, what else was I going to say? Yeah, we've already been discussing colors for subsequent pressings of the vinyl with prosthetics. So that the first pressing is definitely on its way out.
Did you see, really, we were talking about pressings. Did you see this interesting thing that Bandcamp is doing or is starting to do? Almost like a crowdfunding for vinyl?
That I think I may have, but I didn't. I definitely don't remember
about. There was a metal band. I can't remember which one, but I think it's really cool. Obviously, it's been successful for you guys, not the crowdfunding aspect of it, but they're, you know, the market for vinyls there, but Bandcamp is actually going to start doing like a crowdfunding thing where if, you know, a band gets enough supporters. I think Bandcamp behind the scenes has will press your record for you.
That's pretty sweet.
How has your guys' experience with Bandcamp been and the label and everything?
Bandcamp's been fine. We've been using it since whenever we first put stuff up, I guess. That's all good. The experience with Prosthetic has been great so far. They've been really helpful, really responsive, very helpful.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
And we got to meet Steve, the A&R rep. He actually came out to the Chicago show that we did for Legions. So we got to hang out with him in person. And that was awesome.
Taylor, you and I have been talking for almost 40 minutes here. I could go and go. As people who know my previous interviews, I'm not one of those guys who likes to, ask about influences and all the same interview questions that come up time and time again. I just like to have a more fluid, natural flowing interview. And some people may think it's kind of ADD and off the wall. Well, that's my style. I do appreciate you spending your Saturday night with me here again. Paladin, their album, their debut album, Ascension, is on Bandcamp right now. PaladinATL.bandcamp or through Prosthetic again or streaming services. It's out there. It's out there everywhere. People, just check it out. Like I've said numerous times, I don't get excited about a lot of music this often in the metal world. And this is one that grabbed me right away, and I had to do an interview with you. So,
thank you so much, man.
I will give the floor to you, sir. Anything you want to say in closing here?
Oh man, what can I say? I don't have anything profound.
That's fine. That is perfect.
Listen to that album, and play those video games.
I love it. I love it, and. This is Matt for Nine Circles. I want to say again, thank you to everybody for listening. This is my first interview with Nine Circles after coming over from my previous podcast. I appreciate everyone who's followed me over here and those of you who've checked in with me over the past year. I had some serious health issues for the past year, but I'm here back and better than ever. Taylor, thanks again for joining me tonight, sir.
Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
My thanks to Taylor Washington. The album is Ascension. The band is Paladin. It is out now, and it is fantastic. Also, special thanks to Matt for joining us, his first interview. Hopefully, we'll be hearing a lot more of him soon. In the meantime, a little bit of closing ceremonies. The website is ninecircles.co. You can also find us on Twitter over at _ninecircles. Hey, we also have a Facebook at @ninecirclesblog. We also have an email address if you want to contact us about anything. The email address is ninecirclesblog@gmail.com. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. We'll be coming back soon with the album of the month for May. Until then, thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye.